Jobber Nation, welcome to what? Are you knocking on the door?
Sit on.
I'm gonna
That's his
open it.
paw. That's his paw.
You're
Oh,
there. You're
please. Welcome to another episode of the JTP Lounge. As always, I'm Janelle from HR, here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black, and we have two amazing gentlemen joining us on this week's episode of the Lounge. It is
Excuse me,
well
that's only one
overdue.
gentleman, and there's an animal. It's a lion. Like, what's wrong with you?
Lion! Rawr!
See?
Lion and
He's a lion.
Minos! Agwan!
I wish there was like closed
He's a
captioning
lion.
so that it could have just came out like on the bottom of the screen of him yelling.
He's a
Well,
lion.
anyone that comes on, before we let our guests introduce themselves, tomorrow, those that are on the live feed, tomorrow night, Women Crush Wednesday 2, here in Brooklyn, tickets will be on sale at the door. Any pre-sale has stopped. Thank the Lord, but we are excited. We have a very special
Who
announcement
is
tomorrow
that?
as well.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I saw someone talking some stuff. Keep those titles warm for us.
Chris Barton.
That's real cute.
Oh, well, as I was saying, tomorrow night is Women Crush Wednesday 2, but our pre-show is for the men, for the gentlemen of Battle Club Pro. And we have, before they introduce themselves, we have our Battle Club Pro tag team champions on with us
Ooh.
tonight. And they are in a fatal four-way match against Prolific, against Chris Barton and Dominic De Niro, and the debut of two of the Fallout Shelter students. I will leave their name for tomorrow evening because it's really good. But no further ado, you guys introduce yourselves. Let the viewers and listeners know who you are.
Lion, you could go first.
Roar! All right, I talk, guys. All right, I
Lion.
talk. All right. Like I talk. Hey, yeah, I'm Jay Lion, Blazing One, you know, one
And
half of the greatest show in professional wrestling.
I am your brightest black, and together we are your Battle Club Tag Team Champions, the main event.
Welcome to real
Get
main
your
event,
heart
no
out,
shame.
fight or die.
So, God, thank you. We were talking before we went live and saying like this is well overdue. We've been watching you guys' growth from the beginning as a tag team. So it's so dope to see where you guys have come. I'm gonna let the gentleman. You guys want to start off with any questions?
So, just get this the typical question, the story of how you guys became a duo.
Because every duo starts out single.
Yeah, so it started, we met at House of Glory training under Amazing Red. I had a previous tag partner that just kind of left wrestling, and it kind of left me stranded. And Red was doing, a training tournament, like, to get everyone match ready, and it was a tournament style. And I had got taken out the tournament because I had no partner anymore. So he kind of just removed me, and I kind of asked Red if I could find a partner. Can you let me participate in this practice tournament? And he said, yeah. And I found Lion, and I approached him like, hey, one night only, what do you think? And Lion, you could tell him what you thought from there.
And I was like, one night only. I love TNA.
What?
I cannot say.
Nah, but yeah, so one night only. Sorry. That was for the marks, as I am one. but nah, yeah, so it was one night. And honestly, the tag team synergy we had was just like unbelievably organic, to be honest with you. Everything clicked and flowed. I like it. It was just fun. I was having fun with someone that I was growing an organic relationship with outside of the ring and in the ring. Like we're breaking bread together, sweating together, bleeding together. It's cool. Like it was really cool. It was really fun.
And then I popped the question and I got down on one knee and I said, Lion, will you be my tag team partner for
Yeah,
life?
he had a ring too, and then he lit it on fire, and then he told me go through the hula hoop.
Bars. Bars.
Whoa. To my knowledge, I thought that you called him like a Pokemon.
You know, I
You know,
used
he
the
learned.
fake I use the stake to lure him in.
Yeah, you know.
The stake is the Lord. The stake is
so
the
so you
Lord.
Had a lure? And
yeah,
and
I had a lure.
And the music hit, it went doom, 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 doom.
Up, and then I called him, I got my money, and it was like, dun, 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 dun,
dun. I'm dead.
He had the master balls to ask me out. You know what I'm saying?
The master balls.
And you said yes. Look at
I
that.
I did. And here we are. Match me.
What was Red's comment on it when you guys decided to become a tag team?
He thought it was cool.
Okay.
Like, legit.
He thought it was cool. He thought we meshed well. The only thing he kept telling us was, y'all got to get on the same page as far as y'all characters.
So like, talk a little bit about that. Like, you guys, once again, before we got live, we were talking about it a little bit. But talk about your transition in terms of your character development. Because you guys, you know, when we first saw you guys, the main event we saw then is not the main event that is now. So talk a little bit about the transition of, you know, of the characters that you guys have now.
As far as me, I was working on trying to debut as a heel. And I want big bad heel guy. I just couldn't get it to work. It wasn't believable. It wasn't translating. Like, I could say the right things, but you don't believe it. And it was because I was missing this layer, and I didn't understand that back then. Like, I was missing this layer of, like, where does all this come from? You can't just come out and be the man. You have to work your way in. And
but you also have a lovable face.
No, thank
yeah,
you.
Like,
at the,
yeah,
at
I was
time, believe
say.
It or not, believe it or not, Red told me you will never be a face.
And then I told him, bro, it's fun on this side. Legit.
and it just kind of like Red told me you need to find a character that's going to go with him. And I can't be a bad guy and he's a good guy. And my character has nothing to do with any, like, how are we going to complement each other? And that's what made me reevaluate my image. And Lion, you could talk about your transformation.
Yeah, no, same on my end. Like, I was really, like, I came into wrestling wanting to be a Samoa Joe, Benoit, like, really serious guy. Like, I had no, like, comic aspect to me at all. I was just really dry, really shy. But I just wanted to come and kick ass because I have, like, whatever background, you know, martial arts background that I have. And I thought that would pass me by. But, like, I think also us being a team has helped me unlock, like, I guess that fun-loving, like, just, like, happy-go-lucky person. Especially once I put a mask on, forget about it. I really got to, I guess, peel off a layer and really show who I am on the inside.
You are lying, buddy.
Lying!
So it was a very big change for me, honestly. Like, and it was a big deal for me.
What made you go with the mask? Because, you know, I mean, ladies, he's not ugly under there, I will say. I'll give him that.
Thank you.
So what made you go with the mask?
Human resources. Janelle from Human Resources, why did I choose to be under a lucha mask? First off, like, I'm very into, like, the lucha and, like, Latino culture. I do love doing lucha. I have sprinkles of it in my moveset. And honestly, I didn't have a good personality. Like, I was too shy to bring my real personality out. And I think it clicked one time when I went out with my best friend, and it was Halloween, and we dressed up as Ted. Yeah, like the teddy bear. And I was completely, like, rated R, completely different person, having the time of my life. Like, and I'm just like, damn, you know what? Maybe I should put a mask on, because someone told me I should wear a mask. That it'll change things for me. So I'm like, you know what? Let me try this out. And here we are. You know, I'm not even trying to do so much of the roars and the crawling. I'm really trying to, like, be myself now and be authentic. Because there's a certain, like, we tried to do a podcast one time. Well, I'm gonna roar, grunt, and all this stuff, and I'm just like, this is just not who I am, and it's not gonna get me through this hour.
I also don't like speaking for him. Like, I like speaking for him, but Lion has his own mind, and he has a beautiful mind that needs to be shared.
Ooh,
agreed.
Definitely agreed. So,
where'd you go, bud?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So. How was it for Lion. Lion, let me ask you a question. How was it wrestling a dinosaur on AEW?
Hey, guys, you there?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, are you there?
Yo, we can hear you.
Oh, he'll be back. He'll be back. Yo, so all right, while he's gone, Midas, give us a crazy road
wrestling story. Yeah,
that you and Lion have shared together.
Crazy wrestling story. So, you should I answer this first, or should we get back to him?
No, you can tell the story first.
Crazy road story.
You can hear us.
He's dying.
He'll be back.
Crazy road story. So this is like towards our like beginning years. Private Party got us a booking in Canada at C4. And we wrestled the pre-show, but we drove them to Canada. So, you know, we had to pull over the road real quick for a quick second. Quinn gets out the car. Quinn tries to get back in the car, but we leave the car locked. And we make him chase us maybe like a good 5 minutes on the highway. Like, just keep going back and forth on the highway. But if anyone knows Quinn, he probably did something to deserve it. Because Quinn loves to joke around and play a lot of pranks. So it was just about time we got him back. That's one I have. I'm pretty sure Lion could think of something else, but...
Well, talk about, if you guys can, or like your Mania experience last year. You
know, yeah,
you guys
I was
being
done.
Booked during WrestleMania weekend. If I'm not mistaken, for the first time together. So, talk about that experience, because that actually, you guys had a very busy week.
Yeah, we did.
Right before WrestleMania, you guys were in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So just talk a little bit about that journey of that week.
So it was that week. First of all, like, to this day, it still means so much, just because to go there and, you know, I'm grateful to have that experience, and I know Lion's grateful to have that experience because we spoke about it. But that moment right there was a moment for me where, like, 8-year-old Nate, that 8-year-old Midas, a wrestler, and I saw myself in that stage, and that was the closest I've ever been to that dream. And to know that I was there for even 3 days was just enough validation for me to keep going, and I belong here.
Are we talking about all of wrestling?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we're talking about your amazing let up week into WrestleMania weekend.
You know, to earn a lot of people's respect backstage that, you know, we've either looked up to before or just met or working for a while that's never met us. And like from FTR, to SCU, to Jurassic Express, to Dark Order, like to earn their respect, and just that's just stuff that we can't even ask for. Like, we're just blessed and grateful to have that. That week pretty much set up a lot of things for us, and that is what started or continued to push our momentum, because it just lit a new fire under us. Like, we left with so much knowledge. We left with so much experience to get feedback from everyone, from Jericho to Santana and Ortiz to Cody Rhodes. Like, it's just a lot of knowledge to take in and really go out there now that I'm back here.
I really think also, like, to piggyback off what he was saying, there was a certain level change on how we approach pro wrestling after that weekend. Because once you get a taste, you want to go back so bad. Even to this day, like, to any company, though, like, not even just AEW. Like, if it was a WWE, shoot, I'd jump. But it's also a level change of, like, we don't have to do as much as we thought we did prior just to get over or just to get on shows.
Explain that.
Just doing more than we have to. Like, a lot of pro wrestlers rely on doing too many moves or taking too many risks.
Or trying to go viral off of something that is like, you could have done the match without it, and it probably still would have been so hot. And it's just for a quick pop or a quick 15 minutes of fame that you get stuck in this bubble of you're only good for this.
Yeah.
And we just feel like we're so much more than that as characters, especially, and we're just learning that character is everything. Like, you know how to wrestle and you can back it up is a great thing. But if you have a character, you're forever gonna win.
Like Nigga Taker.
Very bad boy.
Gentlemen, you guys are trained by the Underground King, Amazing Red. Yes, can you tell the audience about what the experience of training under him and what have you learned from him?
Go ahead, Lion.
Where do you start? Like, where do you start? Shoot.
Well, anyway. What actually made you guys go to HOG?
Well, me personally, like, I was an Amazing Red fan. Not so much in ROH because I was a lot younger and I wasn't really put onto indies like that. So Impact or TNA. But yeah, I followed him from TNA. I knew when I was 18, I kind of had a sense I wanted to be a pro wrestler, try it. And I knew he had a school in Queens. So I was kind of like following the product, like from far away. I would just never hop on the train or try to get a car and go over there. But I actually trained at another place at first. And it wasn't the greatest place. And I'm not going to name drop. But three people from House of Glory trained there also. And they saw that I was more serious than probably anybody in that school. And they just told me, like, go to Hog, go to Hog, go to Hog. And I clicked with Red really fast. Because again, even that wave and Mike could tell you that wave of beginners, it's like 40 people. But once you pass that and you show that you're hungry enough, like that you want to be at that next level, like Red, like he goes to you pretty much. And once he sees something in you, like he really like puts the tender love and care into every single part of like your advancement. So, you know, like that's just my experience.
As far as me, I actually had no clue where to look for wrestling schools or what that actually entailed. How do you tell what's a good wrestling school? You really can't. But I got lucky. I always say I got lucky because I just found House of Glory through my old tag partner. Again, he did his research. He was gonna go to Johnny Rod School. I can't afford a Johnny Rod School. I can't afford that.
Johnny Rod is the down payment on a house.
Yeah. Are you serious?
I think I was 22 at the time. I'm just like
pretty pricey.
I don't have that. Like, I'm just getting out of college. I have debt to pay. Like, and I kind of like he went there. He said, "I'll let you know how it is." And he didn't like it. And he's like, "Hey, let's check out this school together." And we ended up checking out Hog. And just talking to Red off rip, I kind of knew he was a good person. Like, I'm very good on picking up vibes. And just the way he talked to me with respect from not knowing who I am, I could have been someone that doesn't take this serious and coming in to waste some time. And he spoke to me like with the utmost respect, and it just was very welcoming that I was like, I'm going to come here. And I don't regret anything. A lot of people will go out there and try to, like, slander Hog or whatever, and I just tune everything out because we're just built to ignore BS and just focus on our job. And I thank God that House of Glory taught me how to just mind mine and do what I have to do.
Yeah. Good shit. If you stay in your own lane, you don't have to worry about anybody else's. At the end of the day, like, me and Midas and I, like, we really take it day by day, and we just want to be better wrestlers, performers, entertainers, and human beings than we were the day prior. That's really just the goal, just advancement and just constantly just getting better. So we don't care about that outside stuff, the politics. You won't hear our names in any weird circles, you know what I mean, or in any drama or BS, because, like, we're here for the wrestling, period.
So how do you guys shape your characters? Like, what inspiration do you got? Like, what kind of movies you guys watch? What prior wrestlers? Tell us the process of coming up with the main event.
It started with The Greatest Showman.
Uh-huh.
It definitely all starts from there. Like, that is the base of
it's a great movie
of us.
Fantastic.
just because, like, my mom is the one that told me, like, hey, you should do a circus thing. And I'm like, hey, that's pretty whack. I'm like, hey, that's pretty whack. Like, what am I going to do? I'm going to chain a lion and I'm going to, like, have him jump through this hoop for a suicide dive. And I'm like, wow, that might work. That might work. And then, like, she said, you haven't even watched the movie, just give it a watch. And I watched it and I'm like, wow, what a great movie. Someone just said that in the chat and I agree. Mm-hmm. Movie. And it was just right then and there.
I love that movie. Yep.
The music, the great, this is the greatest show, that beat before our song now, that was our anthem.
Yeah, I remember.
That's what we came out to, and we had all this energy, and it just, that song would hit and it just changed the whole world for us. Mm. And so a lot of inspiration came from there. And then, you know, we have a lot of inspiration from teams like, you know, the Dudley Boys mixed with some Hardy Boys mixed with some, like,
Motor City, Machine Gun,
a little Motor City, a little Los Guerreros in there. Like, we have a little bit of, like, everything. Like, we just try to find literally bits and pieces of everything and just, and then, like,
our own seasoning and flavor on it.
Mm, some little bit of sazon on it.
And then we're also, I'm not even, not putting us on Amazing Red's level, but we're from the mindset of Amazing Red. Like, he gave us the mindset that we have. So you also add that in there, and it's kind of like, we can only build from here. Like, we're nowhere near that level. But he's definitely instilled the seed in us that is just continuous growing every day.
Yeah.
And to be underground king.
Yeah, like, our creative juices flow all the time, and we're really like some stuff that we come up with that we talk about, like, with ourselves, even for a match that we have coming up yesterday, that we can't really go into detail about. But, like, we just come up with crazy stuff. Some of it is crazy over the top, and some of it is just the simple, easy, like, wow, all right, like. But it's just, our minds are always, the juices are always flowing. Because, you know,
lot of inspiration also came from Private Party and Santana and Ortiz.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Really?
Ah. How? Makes sense. Yeah. How?
Just the way those two teams can just work together in unison and look like they're always on the same page, and just, like, the synchronicity that they have. It's just, it's a beautiful thing to watch when they wrestle. And when they tag, and they just kind of instilled in us, like, if we could get on the same page for everything, where I know what you're doing and you don't have to look at me to know what I'm doing, and just all that stuff, that is what makes a tag team a tag team.
Yeah. Ortiz and Santana, like, whether they know it or not, like, they've actually, even certain talks and certain, just listening to them about tag team wrestling, because they really do. First off, Santana always told me, and Mantequilla, like, always pay it forward. And Monte tells me that and reminds me all the time as well. So that's Santana's thing.
Can you let people know who Monte is?
Mantequilla, well, if you don't, you should, because he is one of the nastiest, and he's probably the closest one to having Red's footing in House of Glory. So,
but he's one of the nastiest luchadors on the East Coast.
Hell yeah.
100%. Okay.
But, okay. But yeah, so back to that, like, and Ortiz will always, like, he told me one time very early on, and he said it, you know, over and over and over again, like, where Midas is, like, you can't be too far behind, and vice versa. Like, where one is, the other one has to be right there. And that's kind of like a flow that we adopted as well, like, and that's because of them, and watching them, and studying them. Because I've studied, and so has Midas, so many of their tapes, Private Party and Santana Ortiz, from back, dating back to EYFBO, when they were doing their stuff in Beyond and Limitless Wrestling. Like, we literally paved our, like, our way in the indies after those two teams.
Because I think that, yeah.
So yeah. I was about to ask you, like, it's just kind of a statement and a question. I have to admit, y'all niggas drip at some point. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. How y'all bob y'all drip from when I first seen y'all until now? Boy, seeing that in person, I was like, that drip is different. And seeing guys on Dark, I said,
that was it the white color y'all wore on Dark?
Yes, that the white color.
That was the debut. That was the debut.
I'm telling
so
you.
How did y'all pick it? How did you?
I was just about to ask that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I think the first, so I'll just give you like the evolution process for all of them because we only have three and they're really fast. The red one, the red gear that we have is very, like it's my thing is velvet and his thing is a little velvet too. That came from the Greatest Showman. Like the jacket style of his jacket. Like I was like, I want that. And then they found a way to throw that on pants. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then like, I got the Midas on the butt because the golden ticket. That's your entry to a show, a circus show. Like that's how you put it together. As for like, that's how we got the red gear together. It was the Greatest Showman.
Yeah, then we had the green and purple, which was Mardi Gras theme. We actually debuted it on a hog show in February. And that was a really cool colorway.
And then that was the birth of the suspenders because I was like, I think suspenders would look cool. Like, I don't know. Like, I think suspenders would look dope. It's different. No one wears suspenders a lot like that incorporated in their gear unless it's like some random, I'm a businessman or I'm a CEO.
that was the birth of my long mane because like, my first mask was more kind of like Lindsay Dorado-esque. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, like, this is cool, but, like, it looks more like a monkey bear, like, I don't know what. just the mane, like, the mask was cool, but, like, the mane, I'm just like, it just didn't translate. So, like, I just asked for an extension of it.
So you got a weave.
Pretty much. I got that Indian fur, you know what I'm saying? A good stuff.
You know, like, I cannot.
He hunted it himself.
and then weaved it in.
Then we had we were wearing those colors for a while and we wanted to kind of like inverse it because we were waiting for Hawk to come back. Which kind of like felt like forever, which I'm happy that we're finally back and doing what we're doing now there. Wow. So we just were like, yo, let's just inverse the OG colors and like add some like, you know, we did some white with the red and gold, just inverse it. It'll be cool.
And that just came out. Like to me, it looks like Dalmatian colors. So I call it Dalmatian. Like it looked like the Dalmatians from Disney. But
different.
That just came out so icy at the time. And I was like, wow, like, this is really nice. And then the story leading, like, the way we even got that, like, it was crazy because, like, we got that legit the morning of our flight to Jacksonville.
Yeah. Really? I almost missed my flight.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I was already out in Florida. I believe I was with my daughter.
Yeah. And I actually snuck away from my job at the time. To go to Jersey.
Man was out here running to the gate.
I went to Jersey, New Jersey. My flight was in LaGuardia at 3:00, which I was already like not supposed to be out early. So I went like around 11:30, shot straight to Jersey to pick it up, came back, and I literally made it to the gate like an hour. Like I made it to the airport an hour before like the door closed.
Oh, yeah. You good then? An hour before you good.
Yeah, but still, like, I still had to go to work and like, just a lot of stuff was going on. It felt like I wasn't going to make it. It was crazy.
We knew we needed TV-ready gear.
Mm. What is that, TV-ready gear?
TV is just, like, gear that, you know, a lot of wrestlers forget, especially the ones like up and coming, like your gear is everything. Your look is everything. Like you need fresh presentation. And we just felt like our first two sets of gear was so beat up because we haven't had time to get new ones that we just knew like, yo, we going on TV. We need to look the part. Like even like we need to look as best as we can. And that when we put that on, it also unlocks a new confidence when you just feel fresh.
Yeah.
It's like buying
hair, it's like getting a haircut.
A party and girl, like you're like, oh my God, I'm going to get it. Like I'm fresh.
Yeah. If you look good, you feel good, you do good.
Exactly. And now we have the blue gear, which is based off of the Space Jam 2 colors. Cause I think,
now I see it.
No matter what no matter what you think about the movie, I think the jerseys went hard.
Hell yeah.
So I was like, those colors, I think we could do them. And if y'all think y'all like the gear now, wait till y'all see the next one. That's all I'm gonna say.
So tell us about how you guys got the call from AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So it took a while, because traditionally, I like we can only say like this is hearsay, but New York was getting a bad rep for a while, like before, because like some people just I guess didn't perform to TK's standard, or anybody in the or what's his name, the one before Sean Dean that was doing it,
QT.
Yeah.
Oh, QT Marshall.
Yeah. To his standard. So Private Party. Shout out to Private Party. I love Isaiah and Quinn. Even though I hate them right now because they kind of like beat us up. Kind of like, you know, so.
Kind of.
So love-hate relationship. But, you know, I'm still thankful for them because they put the word in to get us on. And then, you know, before we knew it, like we got an email saying, you know, when, you know, like the dates of the loop and everything. And it was right before WrestleMania weekend, so it was perfect. And, you know, the rest is history. It really was like it was a blessing. It was really
so. Let me ask you guys a question: how are you guys able to still like stay? Tell me your guys' journey during the pandemic, and how you guys stay relevant during that time.
I love this story. I love this story so much because, like, a lot of people for the pandemic. It took away from a lot of people, including us, like in our personal lives. It took away from all of us. I lost my grandfather in the pandemic from my father's side.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
No, my condolences.
It's all fine. It's all fine. Life continues. I love him. I'm glad he's resting. But you know, it was just in pandemic. All I did was talk to this man right here. And he would talk to me
too.
And I'm just like, bro, I'm going crazy. Like, I need to wrestle and I need to team with you again. Like, I'm going crazy. And we're just, of course, we don't know when it's coming back. And fast forward to August, wrestling starting to open up a little bit here, but here and there. And we're just like waiting for this one place that we don't know where it's going to be, but who knows? And then we get a message like, hey, someone canceled. Can you guys come wrestle? And I'm like, of course. So like, we just spent the whole pandemic mindset wise, just saying, whenever we get back, we need to like, just kick it on another level because whatever momentum we just had, it just got killed.
Yeah.
Like
and we didn't have as much momentum as we thought we had. Like it was coming,
but it was on the verge. It was right here.
It was there. But it was a blessing in disguise because, like, the pandemic gave me an opportunity to really take care of my body because, like, I work a full-time job outside of wrestling. So, like, I wasn't my most fit, and I was able to drop 20 pounds, and he was able to put on some weight. And, we came back, and I think, like, I had trained one time before that, and it was, like, nothing – there was no missteps, no rust.
We came back better, we came back hungrier, like that.
And I remember just going to that first booking at Pizza Party. Shout out Pizza Party Pro Wrestling. And we wrestled, and I remember just feeling bigger and feeling healthier, like just different body. And I'm trying to get back there now, but I'm still bigger than what I was before pandemic. Yeah.
No, I was saying we ended up even closing the show.
No, yeah. And it cool. just, from that one match back, things kind of just started building on. And wrestling in the pandemic, whatever you want to say, that was the biggest blessing for us because a lot of people in the wrestling business took a step back with, I respect their reasons why, because we did not know what was up with the virus. We did not know what was up, and I understood everyone's fears, and I don't judge anyone for any thoughts they have on COVID, even if it's way different than mine. But we took full-on advantage because we knew, and we said this, we are in no position to say, hey, I'm not wrestling. Yeah, we are no, also go ahead.
Yeah, like I was working outside the whole pandemic in the city of New York, where was the hotbed. And I'm like, if I could do this and do a job I freaking hate, like, and risk it, I'm gonna risk it doing what I fucking love. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's period. Like, we're gonna go after it. We have to.
I just already made in my head, I'm not gonna let this pandemic stop me from living my life. So
yep.
I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing. And everyone who took a back seat, they kind of just kind of lost their spot, whether it was in tag team wrestling, whether it was singles wrestling. There's a lot of fresh new faces now in indie wrestling, period. And it's because of that gap that was left.
So you talk a little bit about, you know, you guys, of course, being a tag team. I want you guys to talk a little bit about the current state of tag team. Like, it's always a debate. You know, like up here, we're always like,
good questions. You know,
we always feel like, where the tag teams at? Where the tag teams at? And then if you go compare it to the South, you're like, there's too many tag teams. So, what is your experience depending on, I guess, the region? Because you know, you guys have traveled Midwest, you guys have traveled to the South, of course, up New England, and then you guys were just in Canada not too long ago. So, what is kind of the tag team scene now? And like, what do you feel like it's missing?
Well, the tag team wrestling is hotter in the Northeast than it's been in a very long time. So if anything, I don't think tag team wrestling is as big in the South as it is in the North.
And so you feel like there's been a switch?
It's complete opposite. There's really like, I don't think we've wrestled too many tag teams in the South. I mean, I don't think there are too many tag teams in the South that we haven't wrestled yet, to be honest. And wow. I really think,
and if there is, because maybe we just don't know, if there is, we would love to meet them.
Word. Like,
we love tag team wrestling. Now I want to meet every tag team for everywhere.
Yeah. Definitely, Drew Cordero would be on wrestling, and Paul with Wrestling Open, and Randy with Limitless Wrestling. Like, they really, like, post-pandemic, put a really big focus on tag team wrestling. Like, we can name a list of 13 tag teams legit in the Northeast. It's very, very, very hot.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of people. You have like people like Wave and Curls. Wave and Curls is amazing. You have
Brick City Boys.
I'll even say, listen, man, no matter what people think, us or them, the other main event is fantastic too.
They are good.
Power to them.
Yeah, me. Hell
them.
Yeah.
They
Shook Crew
is dope. Shook Crew is dope. There are so many teams out there. MSP. There's
Miracle
so many.
Miracle Generation.
The Rep.
And Miracle Generation is fresh. The Rep is. They deserve their flowers forever.
Prolific.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
Tag team wrestling is alive and well in the Northeast.
So let me get a little messy.
In pro wrestling, honestly, in indie wrestling, challenge us if you guys think differently. If anybody thinks differently, the Northeast is tag team wrestling. Period. From New England to Connecticut. I mean to New York.
But what's the beef with New York City not having a bad rep right now?
What do you mean?
I don't think it's now. I think that was before. And
okay.
So if it was before that don't even matter.
Like, okay.
We good now, and we did our. We did our part to help rebuild. Like, just what we mean by I'll answer your question, Wilkins. What we mean by that is NYC, you have legends that came from here. Low key. You have Red,
Eddie Hit Squad.
You have all these guys that have made their name in NYC wrestling.
Even the Briscoes did. Everyone.
And for a long time, that was missing. That was missing, and it's like we're just trying to do our part to rebuild that. The main event is NYC Wrestling.
You like G-Unit.
You can say that because you got Cash Flow, you got Charles Mason, you got Montekia.
Nolo Cachano.
Anyone could fight us on this. We are NYC Tag Team Wrestling. Encore, Nolo Cachano. Anyone at House of Glory, we are NYC Wrestling.
Oh, and so not you're not even that. You're like Rockefeller.
Yeah.
We're so, listen. I mean, they're all elite and everything, but I would love to even say and challenge Proud and Powerful and Private Party for being NYC Tag Team Wrestling. Because if you don't think you're the best, you shouldn't be here, period.
That's true. That's true.
That is true.
Yo,
that's
so some bars I spit. Proud and Powerful. That is... What's up?
Yeah. Who would you guys would love to face?
There you go.
Those two teams right there.
That's so like together or like separately?
Separate.
You haven't faced them yet?
I want both. I want together and separate.
Yeah.
You guys haven't faced them yet?
No. I mean,
we had Private Party in a four way.
We've only wrestled Private Party once.
That's surprising.
That was in a four way. And we were just starting out as the main event.
Oh. Okay.
Favorite match of your career?
Wait, hold on. Before you answer that, what made you guys spell Maine the way that you did?
Come on, Janelle. The Lions Maine.
Okay. Oh,
wordplay for the Lion.
Oh,
the wordplay is the main event, but also, you know, you see us, we're gonna give you a show. We are the greatest show in pro wrestling, and that's why we are the main event. And you take it as you want it, whether it's MAIN or MANE, it's the same thing.
Oh,
okay. But okay, now you can answer Walker's question. What greatest match you guys have had? Like the match you're most proud of.
Greatest match you're most proud of.
That's hard.
I have one.
What? I already know what you're gonna say.
I'm feeling too.
No, but that is a great match of ours. That is one that is a hit. And honestly, I think it got better as it went along because the one we had at Limitless was great. It was fire.
Sea Stars were also our first intergender tag team wrestling match.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
we
never wrestled gender before that. So it was nice to challenge ourselves and they challenged us to like take a different approach instead of like just brutally beating down the girl. Like how can we make this cool?
An athletic competition.
I mean, Yah versus them at Java Slam for the titles. Man,
let me tell you, that was the hardest kept secret I've ever had.
Oh man,
they'll come in there to the entrance. The next thing you know, you see the fly.
I think to answer your question for me, my proudest match is our match with FTR. That's my proudest match because I just remember finding out we were going to wrestle them. And Lion wasn't with me. And I said, hey, bro, we're wrestling FTR. And he said, yeah, okay.
I think same thing too. Yeah, okay.
I said, I'm not joking. I said, we're wrestling
FTR. You thought he ribbed you?
He's thinking I'm ribbing him. And he's like, all right, joke's over. And he sees my
Yeah, I see our names on the board. I'm like, and he goes, shit.
Look at the board, and he's like, yo, wrestling FTR. And I'm like, I told you, bro. So, you know, we were super nervous because they're number one right now.
Wrestling, like,
our tag team wrestling right now. They're just killing on all cylinders. And we were very nervous to be in there with them. And we were in there with them, but you know, we just to like I said it earlier, but to get their respect out of anyone that we were there with, like we love tag team wrestling so much and look up to them so much. Their psychology is just amazing. And to get the respect that they gave us, even if it was this much respect, that I could take that with me and be like, okay, let's do this. I'll see you guys in the future. Like,
yeah, he said that too. Like he said, you know, he thanked us, you know, for doing what we did, and he said that you know, he's gonna pay it back one day. That's what he said. So I'm pretty sure, and we put it out to the universe ourselves all the time. That's gonna happen. That we wrestle them one day. That's, you know, like that's our dream match, I think, because they're the biggest heels, they're the biggest bad guys. and we're very big baby faces.
With so much work to grow on, and it's like, how, what a better way to grow than being in there with someone like that?
Yeah.
Dang.
So how have you guys been able to balance life and wrestling? Like, not everybody knows you're a proud daddy over there.
Yes, I am.
And, you know, over there, Lion got his full time job and life, and always complaining about how he can't spend time with his friends. So, how do you guys balance life and wrestling?
It's tough. I just, you know, my daughter and me, we don't live in the same state, and I do my best to I'm really very back and forth, even if it's for a week or 2 weeks. Like, I really do my best every month to make sure I see my little one. Now I have a job in real life too, so it's gonna be extra tough. But, you know, it's just really just going through the motions and doing what you have to do. When we all live life, we all know when we have a lot of stuff on our plate that you can't really gauge anymore. You just kind of, it's just, you work.
Just do.
You know what you have to do, and you just try to find that time to squeeze it in there. And that's just what I do. I know that my wrestling comes first, but I know my little one comes first. So it's like wrestling is first, but my baby girl is first. And I know that whatever I do in wrestling is building towards what I'm going to do for my little one. But when she needs me, she needs me. And I'm going to make myself available.
And it's out of the year.
Yeah, I try, man. I try. Like, no matter what anyone thinks, or like, no one knows my life but me. I don't care what anyone says. And I never care what anyone says, because they don't live my life. And that's just what it is. Like, so thank you for the Father of the Year comment, because, you know,
it's definitely admirable to see, like, especially the back and forth. Cause, like, you know, of course, like, we all know, like, we know each other. So, like, I can say I know for a fact, like, you do the absolute most to make sure you spend time with your child. And that's important. But it's a lot that, you know, a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of people sometimes in wrestling don't get to see or understand, you know, because, you know, we hear all the old time stories, you know, and stuff like that. But it's like, for real, like, if this is like your passion and your love, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. But I do know you definitely try your utmost to try to be there as best as possible. So
both of y'all mentioned how y'all changed physically. How you guys evolve mentally throughout the years to this point?
Go ahead, Lion.
Yeah, I think it's just the constant reps is what really brought our confidence level to an all-time high. That's why we really flex like we're the best, because we believe we are, and because nobody in indie wrestling tag team wise could, you know, we're gonna believe that could light a fire, like, or could kind of like do what we do. Like, we're still looking for that, like, that set, that pair to have, like, that big series with, you know what I'm saying? And if, you know, but I really think above all, what keeps us pushing and what keeps us confident is our consistency.
It's it goes to consistency. It goes to our fan base. It goes to, like, you know, sometimes just even talking to random fans and seeing what we do for them on a personal level, or getting random love on Twitter or random love online. And it's just like, wow, I didn't post anything today, and you're randomly thinking of me. Thank you so much for taking the time to just include me in your day somehow. And I'm glad that I somehow put a smile on your face without even knowing I did. Like,
yeah, we really love our fans. They honestly put a bigger smile on our face than we could ever do for them.
More than they would ever know. Like, sometimes we don't know how to express stuff. Sometimes we're just super tired that the mood is just, it looks like we hate people. I'm like, no, I love all.
We love you. Like,
no, you don't look like that. The other one. The other one. He sure do give the hook. Don't fucking talk to me.
You guys talk about all the good stuff, the right mental things and everything. Have it ever came close to you guys almost gave up on this?
Good question, so well.
We've never had the talk, but I'm pretty sure, like, we've had times where we've talked about it. Like, you know, like, but we've never had the, yo, this is it.
Yeah, it might be just a place of, like, complaining for 5 minutes, and I'm like, gosh, I just want to stop. But I don't mean it. Like, I don't mean it ever. And I think it, you know, a lot of people don't know this. There was a time where we almost split up when I was having my daughter. I almost was going to walk because I didn't know if I could be able to balance and maintain. And you know, having a wrestling life is having a double life. You have to, yeah, I have to pay for real life.
Say it louder for those in the back.
Wrestling is a double life.
Yep.
What Midas Black outside of wrestling requires is not the same as what I require in wrestling, and that's two different spendings going different. So I'm just like, all the money that I've sacrificed on wrestling, like, can I continue doing that and take care of a little girl? And I'm like, I was this close to like just stopping and working a regular life, but I just keep thinking of like, oh my god, if I make it. Or, oh my God, if this really kicks off, I can really not only be happy in my life doing what I want to do, but I can take care of the people I need to take care of. So I just, you know, put everything on faith and believing in myself and in line, and that we will be taken care of when the time is right, because we worked for it and we earned it. And thank God I'm still here, because he knows I was this close. And I told him like, hey, bro, I'm having a baby. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep wrestling with you. And
speaking about family, what did your guys' family think when you told them, I'm going to be a professional wrestler?
Oh, man. My old man probably thought I was crazy.
My mom was here for it. My mom just wanted me to go to school and finish college. And I met her halfway. I went to school, so, but and I think it's okay. Like, I like telling my story because I'm not ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. I did have to do. I had a tough major. I was a bio major.
A bio major?
Did you want to be a doctor?
I wanted to be a physical therapist just in case wrestling didn't work out.
Oh, okay.
Be in the field somehow, and. That's what I wanted to do, and I was good at it for like the first couple, and then I transferred to Albany, and it just was a different world, and I got depressed because I felt stupid, and I felt like I couldn't do it. And
it was also cold.
Yeah,
and a lot of parties.
Yeah, but
that's over.
That wasn't my problem. Believe it or not, that wasn't my problem. It was just really like I just wasn't understanding the work, and I wasn't retaining it the way I was before. And I was like, you know, I'm calling it quits, and I'm going to go wrestle because I'm not getting any younger, and I'm the youngest I'm going to be right now. At the time, I said
Midas at 22 years old.
22 years old. And I was like, you screw this. I'm going to go do it. And my mom had a hard time at first, but I explained to her, and she got it. And I said, school's not for everyone. And it's okay. Wow. It's not about whether you finish or not. It's what you do. I told her I have friends that have that piece of paper and they still don't do anything. And it's not their fault. It's just the way the world is set up.
She didn't throw a chocolate at you?
Nah, man. Nah. At this point, I'm too old for the chocolate.
Okay.
Like, after a certain point, listen, after a certain point, Spanish mothers get tired.
I think that's all mothers.
And it usually comes after the first kid.
Yeah, so, then they start throwing glass and books and weird stuff.
And frying pans.
A book thrown at you?
But I want to get back to this because I don't want it to sound like I'm downplaying school. I'm all for school. And I'm all for people that go to school. But it's also, don't feel bad or pressured if it's not working for you. Find out. You can do after, because there are tons of ways to be successful without that piece of paper.
Mm. You sound like Kanye.
I don't mean to. It's just
it's valid.
It's just really is true. Like hey, people forget college is a business and it's an investment.
Yeah. I got a degree I don't even use.
Yeah. And also some people like to, like I know this is completely not wrestling related, but to put the responsibility on a 20-year-old to know what they want to do for the rest of their life before they've barely lived it is crazy.
No, it's true, because when I was in college, I'll swear up and down that I want to take up social work, be the best human service, and become a cop. Now, at my big age of 32, I'm a fucking podcaster, and that's my dream job. That didn't exist when I was 22. And now 10 years later is the biggest thing. So go figure.
Yeah, man.
What a journey. So any last questions before we do wrap up?
Of course. Of course. Of course. Top five favorite rappers. No particular order. It's just, yeah, top five favorite.
Top five favorite.
It's going to be different for both of us, though.
Dead or Alive.
I would hope so.
No, that means I had a damn stink. They're taxing. I'm not surprised.
I'm gonna go Kanye, Jay-Z. Sheesh, this is hard.
I'm gonna say Nas, Big Pun, 50 Cent.
For me. Ooh.
They said Nas and 50.
Okay. Two Queens people on there.
Yeah, but always gotta do it for the Bronx with Big Pun.
For the boogie.
I can't give you. I know Kanye and Jay are like of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't give you the rest of all time, but I could give you like top three that I listen to right now. Like,
no, but it's just favorites, like favorites, not
yeah, you know, favorite, yeah. It doesn't matter.
So I'm gonna throw Cardi and Megan there. I'm gonna throw Cardi and Megan there because they always get me hype.
Especially with
Wap.
This guy's a monster.
And
hey yo, hey, hey yo.
I just kidding.
Hey yo,
JK.
No.
Take care, Wap. Come on, he's a boxer. Wap, you
know,
what?
This guy's all about his Wap.
Last one might go to Kendrick. Last one.
Oh yeah, K Dot.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yo, I got to throw Benito in there, you know, Bad Bunny, because, you know, Puerto Rican.
Bad Bunny.
Yo, who would have guessed Bad Bunny would be that good in wrestling? Like, who would have guessed, like,
well,
we
if
train.
You train,
I would have.
No.
Yeah.
Nah. I've been training. There's some guys that train all they want. They just don't have the it. Bro, they could teach it. They don't have the it.
I knew he was going to be good off of the fact that I knew he had all the celebrities that do well in wrestling are the ones that have a love for it. Yeah. And he had love for it. He said that before he wanted to be a singer, rapper, he wanted to be a wrestler. So, like, that was him living his dream. And he had the best people to teach him.
Yeah, look at Pat McAfee. Like, Pat McAfee, before he even got to the E, had a whole ring in his backyard.
Yeah, like, they love this stuff.
They're fucking marks. That's why they do so well.
So, I knew off-rip, like, that he was going to, once they announced it, I was like, he's going to kill it. I said it, he's going to kill it. Just like I knew Stephen Amell was going to kill it, because he's just an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, he's an athlete. Like, there's that a lot of celebrities ripped it, man.
Snooki didn't do too hot, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Snooki's not an athlete.
Just kidding. I like
okay, for entertainment-wise, that was like the band member he did for a celebrity. Like, it was a bear. Like, okay, it was entertaining, but I don't want to see it again. Like, I didn't go back. Oh, they watched the resume for that match. Never.
It was to see Trish, to be honest, ooh, right?
Oh,
listen,
young man.
I don't like white women.
Wait,
but Trent
who
is accepted.
Who have you guys met that you guys were like starstruck? Like, just like, oh shit.
Luchasaurus? The lion?
No.
He's like, oh man, another animal. Was it Bobby Fish? You know, he's a fish. You know, you're a lion. Do you try to eat him? Yeah. I'm on it today. For tomorrow's 420, my favorite holiday. So.
Oh, damn. Somebody celebrate.
Mm-hmm. After the show.
Who was us?
I don't know, man. I don't really fanboy like that, but I really feel like I have.
But who's somebody you know?
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I met The Rock on Live with Kelly. Yeah. I was starstruck there.
You met who?
The Rock. Dwayne.
Wait. You talking about Chris Rock or no. Dwayne with Young Rock?
No, Dwayne Johnson.
No, you playing, man. You talking about Boulder's husband. Boulder.
We're out of everything, bro. My mom was like, hey, you want to go to Live with Kelly? I'm like, no, I don't watch that show. And she said, well, The Rock's going to be there. And I was like, whoa. And like, I didn't meet him, but I touched his shoulder. And I just touched his shoulder. I touched his shoulder, and I remember running away like, it's all, bro. I'm going to make it now because I touched the great one. So.
Yeah,
That's really why I keep doing this, because I touch The Rock's shoulder.
He's like, I touch the shoulder.
No, that's a phenomenal shoulder to touch,
bro. I touched it. And I was like, wow, this
is such a massive shoulder too.
This is a bro. He's huge. He's huge.
Meaty man. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody that fully like marked out over. It's always gonna be Homicide quietly. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay.
And Midas knows that. I just like, he's one of my favorite. He's the godfather of NYC wrestling. I'm going to quietly mark out to him all the time.
He is the godfather.
My man said quietly.
Yeah, very quietly. No roars around D, you know? No
roars. I got another question for you. How was it? Okay. What was the moment that you had a fan out for you? Like, how was that for the first time? Experience that the first time, Dom. First time. How was that for both of y'all?
It's always super humbling, man. Like,
yeah,
I never know how to react.
This kid the other day told us that we're his favorite wrestlers. I said, nah.
Oh, like, that's sweet.
We always downplay. Like, so they be like, you're our favorite, and we're like, no, we're not.
Guys gotta start embracing that though.
We started, and like, even I did a random photo shoot. I did a basketball photo shoot just to step out of my range of stuff. And I did a basketball photo shoot that was sponsored by like Sony and everything. And one of the photographers there, I'm doing the photo shoot in my main event shirt, because why not do a photo shoot? Why not free advertisement? So one of the photographers goes, hey man, where'd you get that shirt? And I'm like, oh, it's I have it on my link tree on my Instagram. And he goes, wait a minute, you're the ringleader? And I'm like, you know who I am? He goes, yeah, I know the lion. You guys are all, I'm like, yo, this is crazy. I'm just doing a basketball photo shoot, and he knew who he was. And I'm like, yeah it's pretty cool. Like,
it happened to me recently at my gym. So someone who worked at the front desk, I walked in with my House of Glory hoodie. And what do you call it? So I pull up. They're like, oh, my God, you wrestle with House of Glory? I'm like, yeah. You know, like, just try to be quiet. You know, keep kayfabe, whatever. She's like, yeah. Well, who are you? I was like, I didn't say I was this said person yet. But I was like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, this is tag team House of Glory. Like, there's a ringleader and a line. Yeah, main event. They're awesome. They're so cool. It's like, yeah, they are. Like, they are.
He's the worst.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm the lion guy. It's like, started, like, bugging out. Like, I'm like, oh, shit, cool. Like, I guess I'm popular. Like, that's awesome. Yo,
thanks. So we'll go work out now. Bye.
Yeah, I was just really like, you know, I'm a shy guy, so I'm just like, you know, all right.
Yeah,
bye.
All right, bye. Yeah, that's
it. See you later. I'm gonna go work out.
Right. Yo, I love having awkward interactions with people. I like thrive off of it. It's so great, and then I laugh after. It's like, I don't know.
Because then he's good for making it more awkward and then walking away.
Yeah.
Yo, that's what he does. He'll make it more like obnoxiously awkward, and you looking at each other like, "Did I just say something crazy?" And then he just like walks away.
Oh, like, oh my god! I'm weak.
Yo, guys, you guys have any other questions before we let the guys tell the viewers and listeners know any upcoming shows that you guys have?
Well, thank you for the floor, Janelle from Human Resources.
Anytime.
Jay, so you said a whole government.
You know, you should legally change your name to Human Resources.
I'm not. Did I ever tell you one time a guy sent me a job posting for HR?
and I had to tell him.
I said, I actually work in sales. I don't work HR. Oh. But thank you.
So,
oh my god,
HR.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm the HR of this.
Okay, good. I'm 100% like you didn't say that. whatever. Nah, but so I guess plug. Buy our merch, please. You know, we need money. We got link trees on our Instagrams. You can follow me on Blazing_Lion. You can follow
my. Send me guys link trees so I can put in the description below.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Actually.
Not right now.
All right. Sorry.
Dang.
Only because he'll forget. So that's why. Yeah, that's why.
All right. How you doing that? Like a fan did ask. Like he came in late. So it's all like only right.
Called the main event. Mr. Bull, Mr. Boggs.
Listen to the interview earlier.
Mr. Boggs 84. We answered it a little earlier, but we just became that because you know, we train at the same place under Amazing Red. He's a lion. I'm this guy that needs to be something with a lion. So what's better than just a guy, a lion tamer, or even better than a lion tamer, a ringleader? And then
he proposed to me on one knee with a hula hoop. And I said, wow, the biggest ring I've ever seen in my life.
Partner, and he said, of course I will. And then they would, all right, I now pronounce you the main event. And that was it.
Okay. All right, so this plug, yeah, guys. Got right here, guys. Tomorrow, man, it's a big day for everyone here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Come out. We're going to
come out and watch us defend these bad boys.
Ooh, look at the
out. Come out.
Fight and not die. And there's going to be a cool new Battle Club Fallout Shelter tag team that debuts too. So, like, come through. And a bunch of great women's really wrestling. Exciting.
And not only that, because it's not just about us. It's really about the women's wrestling
What I said, yeah. The women's
Just opening up the show for the ladies. So, ladies and gentlemen, please go tomorrow, Battle Club. Look up Battle Club on Twitter and Instagram. Find out how to get tickets because there are still tickets available. And watch the ladies rip it. And watch the guys open up the show for the ladies. Like, you guys are such a dope show.
Yeah. Thank you guys for being a part of it.
And
you know what, you guys, thank you. Absolutely. Thank you guys for, you know, always being supportive of us.
Thank you. It's been amazing to see
your growth and your journey. And us just getting, you know, us getting to know you guys just personally. Like I always tell people, wrestling has definitely brought some amazing people in my life, and I know the boys can attest to that as well. But no, thank you guys for everything, and we just want nothing but the best for you guys. So
it goes the same way. Like we told you guys before, like you guys are killing it. Like literally,
thank you.
And the presentation, the way you guys interview is just it's different. And you know, I could tell a bunch of people because I've been on some shows and they all do things differently. But you guys, especially for three people, like, it's hectic. Uh-huh. All can't stand
on his toes. Thank you.
You guys do a good job, man. And you guys make it fun. This is fun. Oh, yeah.
It's always a conversation. So, no, we thank you guys for taking the time out. The champs taking the time out to speak with us.
Appreciate it.
Can you catch them tomorrow night during the pre-show? Welcome to NYC's pre-show, 6:30 bell for the pre-show, so make sure to come out. Tickets will be at the door available. Pre-sale has ended, so you don't need to put the link, you're fine. So you can definitely come to the door and purchase a ticket. So we're not going to turn anyone away. We welcome everybody to come out, especially on a Wednesday on 420. We're going to have a really good show, a really good time. What other shows you guys have next coming up?
We will be in the building at Beyond Wrestling on Sunday at FET. Inertia, great show. If you guys can't make it over to Rhode Island, check them out on IWTV. We're making our Black Label Pro debut.
Ooh, nice.
Against
Violence is Forever.
For the Black
Label. We have a lot of cool stuff. We should be in the building at House of Glory next month, also May 27th. May 15th, FWF with Matt Cardona and Creative Pro on May 15th.
Oh, wow.
They're doing a doubleheader that day.
Yeah.
So it should be all dope stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, we can't forget. We can't forget because that's just May. We can't forget Black WrestleFest.
Yes.
Yes.
Juneteenth weekend, Pretty Hills is putting on Black WrestleFest. Where they're going to be doing a convention part on the 18th, the Saturday, and then Battle Club Pro will be presenting the wrestling part of it on Juneteenth day. So make sure to hit up Pretty Hills for all that information. If you guys want a vendor, if you guys want to be a part of the convention, make sure to hit her up, hit them up on Pretty Hills on all social media. And then, as I said, those are watching on the live feed, we have a very big announcement tomorrow night, right before the show start, like right before the kickoff of the show. So we're really excited about that. We got a lot of things going on. Everybody's working. Everybody's trying to put on the best product and give the best that they can give. So we thank everybody for continuing to support. If you guys do come out, make sure to buy their merch tomorrow night.
It's going to be a great time tomorrow night.
It'll be a really good time. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Midas. Thank you, Jay Lion, for joining
us. Thank you.
Lion!
Thank you,
Jobber Tears. Thank you, Serpent Warriors. We love everybody.
Love you.
And onward, guys. Tomorrow, we will just say this. We will walk in and we will leave your Battle Club Pro Tag Team Champion.
Ooh, bars.
That is a tall order.
And I'm gonna continue listening to social medias real quick. Lion said his was Blazing_Lion. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And for me, Twitter and Instagram is Ringleader Midas, Ringleader M on Twitter. So that's where you can follow us. And you know, we love to interact. So interact with us. Let's get to know each other.
Yes.
All right. Well, sounds good. Thank you guys for joining us on this late night episode of the JTP Lounge. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here with Sir Wilkins and Miss The Black. Hashtag Black Excellence. Hashtag We Are Out.
See you guys tomorrow, y'all.
Peace.